Praise the Lord for this word, beginning with the sentiment from Ecclesiastes 1:2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. May we be open to the Lord and his speaking this morning, that he would speak a fresh dose of reality to us this morning in our brother's speaking. So we'll turn the time over to our brother Minoru.
Thanks, Paul. You can all hear me? All right. Thank you. Once again, I'd like to say how I appreciate these moments that the Lord has afforded to us. And if the Lord wills, and if we're all desirous, I surely hope that we can continue this kind of speaking on a long-term basis. I understand that we will have another time on November the 19th this month, and that will be it for this quarter, basically. But I trust the brothers will be making plans for the next quarter, in the first quarter of 2023. So we can continue this type of fellowship. I chose two songs for us to sing, one for this first part, for a session, and then another one for the next. That one is 1025. I can let you know. That says, what is 1025? Can someone of you help me?
Give up the world, Christ to obtain.
Yeah, it's there. Thank you. Give up the world, Christ to obtain. And so you all know that both songs are from the gospel section of our hymnal. So, why? Because I consider this morning preaching the gospel to you. You may say, well, I was saved. I was saved a long time ago. I have the Lord as my Savior, and I have the eternal life, etc. Well, thank the Lord for that. I believe that for sure. Otherwise, you won't be here. But the fact of the matter is, the gospel being the good tidings, the good news, is not just for our initial salvation. The gospel of God is a complete and full gospel, not only about our being delivered or saved from perdition, and to see and to receive the life of God, to be regenerated. Redemption and regeneration are marvelous things, but they are the beginning of the gospel of God. All that is to make us his believers, his children, his species, am I right? His kind. And from that point on, God has a tremendous work in each one of us according to the purpose in his economy. And he wants to continue the dispensing of himself into us that occur when we first receive the Lord, day by day, year by year, even moment by moment. The dispensing of himself into all of our being, not just our spirit, but certainly all the parts of our soul and our entire heart, and one day even our physical being, so that our entire person would be filled with his life, saturated with himself, that we would become the same as God is in life and nature. And in this way, we will become his expression and also his representation on this earth. And only by that, by gaining that in us, or by saving us to such an extent, such a degree, not, as I say, not just the salvation of our spirit, but as it says in Hebrews, the salvation of our soul. and eventually the full salvation of our entire being in this way, can he gain what he is after. So what does that mean? That means we need the gospel again and again. We need a further gospel all the time. We need this good news preached to us. And this gospel not only preached to us about grace and salvation and the love of God, this gospel also preached to us God's very righteousness, God's administration, God's kingdom, right? The gospel actually is the gospel of his kingdom. So this gospel brings us fully under his government, his rule and reign, so that we would become his kingdom. This gospel also is a gospel of service, if I may say so. And that is that we would be those who would no longer serve the devil, for sure, and not ourselves, but to serve him, to serve the Lord. To serve his church, his in his house, to serve his people, to serve God's need in his economy today. So we do need this gospel again and again. Now, let me start with this. Today, according to 1 John chapter 2, where there are three kinds of people mentioned there. Number one, so-called the little children, right, in chapter 2, 1 John. And number two, you have the fathers. And number three, you have the young men. Well, the children are the wonderful little children who were just saved and have their sins forgiven. And they know God as their father. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But they are just the babes, the children in the Lord. Then you have two other classes of people here. Number one, the fathers. The fathers are the who are they? These are the believers that have acquired, attained to certain maturity in God's life. Not only in their physical age, they are more advanced and older, with more human wisdom and experience. Those things are important, are valuable, but they have grown in the Lord's life. They know the one, and that is Christ, who is before all things. They know the Word, and that is Christ, who was there from the very beginning. And that's what it says here. They know him who is from the beginning. This is a very particular kind of a way of describing this group of believers. And they know this eternal Christ by the inner life unto their maturity. And so today we need this group of fathers in the church life, in God's economy, in the Lord's recovery. And thank the Lord, we do have this group of brothers and sisters. Although I must say that these ones who probably were born, right, after the war, I'm talking about the World War II, right, in the late in the 30s, 40s, 1930s, 40s, and on, and more immediately, those who come of age in the 60s, many, and the 70s, right? Today, these ones who have been in the church life, in the recovery for that long a time, really, by the growth, and if they possess the growth in life, they should be such fathers, such fathers. And in the church life, we do need the fathers. I mourn in these days the loss, one after another, of fathers, both brothers and sisters, right? This word father is somewhat genderless. In the church life, how wonderful that today in the recovery we still have some older brothers and sisters like this. Again, not just they are physically old and more experienced, but much more they are mature in the life of God, and they are the ones that will be of great help. And I'd say if there's anyone of that category here, maybe there are not many, because this is a working saints fellowship, and these ones, many have retired or retired a long time ago. I say that we need you, brothers and sisters. You should not just, yes, physically you're in retirement, but in actuality, as our brother Lee would say, our real usefulness begins when we reach 70. He did say that, or even one time I think he said 75. Why 75? I do not know. The point is, it is in a period, in a time of your maturity, you have something to give, to offer, to dispense into the church, the members of the body, for their growth and for their perfecting. I still like to remind the older saints, you don't need to be an elder. You don't need to have a kind of a rank. You don't need any kind of name, you know, or title after your name. It is absolutely unnecessary. By your maturity, you have a role. You have a indispensable portion in the household of God. And that is to be that father, that older one. I would say a few things you can do, and please do it. Please do it. Number one, to pray. I tell you, it takes maturity to pray the mature prayers. Praying is more important than doing some administrative things in the church. Praying is the highest form of ministry there is. just to pray. I mean, it would be wonderful if we have older saints that would pray for an hour a day. Would that be too much? No. The older women in 1 Timothy chapter 5, widows, I should say, are those who are to pray, given themselves to prayer and the good works. And to just to show just how important prayer is. If there would be older saints that would be given to such a ministry of intercession, we would be very, very blessed. Number two, along with prayer, there's another thing that you can do, and that is to shepherd the saints, to shepherd the young, to care for them, to teach them, to cherish and nourish them, to shepherd them, because they need it. They need it from an older person. This is more important than any administrative work in the church or some kind of outward services. This kind of care for the young, the care for the needy, the shepherding of the saints. My goodness, if you can devote another hour or two per day to that, my goodness, every day would be a fulfilling day, wouldn't it? Every day would be a full day in God's economy. You can do it by inviting people to be with you for a meal. You can just spend some time with them. And I told you, I was very, very much a beneficiary of such care from the church fathers. Really, really. A young person could not help me like that, but a father could. So much need, so much need everywhere. Right? So I'll just say this much. But there's a third group, and that is the burden for these meetings, for this fellowship. And what is the third group? The third group is what they call, what the Apostle John called the young men. Well, who are these young men? Well, I would say this is a very broad category that includes you can even say from as young as a college age, right? But for sure, it would include all the young working saints, so-called. And the age range is wide. One can go from the mid-20s all the way to the 50s. Am I right? In the Book of Numbers, those who serve, the Levites, I mean, including the priests, they serve from 25 to 30, 5 years of apprenticeship, and then another 20 years of actual official service in the tabernacle from 30 to 50, so 25 years. I'm adding another 5 years on the other end, so to make it 30 years of this group of young and middle-aged brothers and sisters, and I'm speaking to this group. This group is what we call the waste of the body. You know, your body has a waste, and that waste is the core. Sometimes the core of your body, how your body would stand, how your body would move, how your body would do work. Everything depends on the core. I used to have a back problem, and eventually the physical therapist can only do so much. He prescribed core exercises. They said, there's nothing more we can do. There's no drugs you can take for this. You have to build up your core. Your problem is your core is weak. And that's what I did. And now for many years, I have no back problem. Because I start to do a lot of core exercises. The core of the body of Christ in the church life is simply these young and middle-aged brothers and sisters. That's you. That's you. And these are the believers who have what also have a measure of growth in life. Maybe not like the father, so mature, but they are also grown up in God's life. And many of you are like this, are in this category. And these ones, I'm just quoting what is in the word here, they have overcome the evil one. They have overcome the evil one. They are overcomers. They're not defeated. They're not subdued. Rather, they overcome Satan, the god of this age. And it described them as they are strong. They are strong. They are energetic. They have strength. Unlike the older ones, you may be mature, but your strength is waning. Am I right? Your strength is somewhat of a decline. But these ones are strong. They have the power and strength to carry on something. And then it says, the word of God abides in them. The word of God abides in them. They have the word of God. And this word of God is is the sword that they, am I right? That they use to fight. This is the eternal word of God. This is the word of the truth. They abiding within, meaning they are constituted with the very word. And finally, the admonition here to this group of saints is what? Is that they would not love the world, nor the things in the world. They should love just the Father. Am I right? And then he goes on, the apostle, to describe what is the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life. All this thing, these three things specifically, are not of the Father, not from the Father, but they are of the world. And don't love this world, and don't love the things that belong to these to these three things. And then he goes further and say, this world with all the things is passing away. It's passing away. It's lust. And so forth are passing away. It'll be gone. It'll be over. It'll be finished. But he who abides, he who does the will of God abides forever. And so these group of believers are those who do, who does the will of God. Do you see this very precious description and admonition to this group of saints? And I turn around to pass that on from John to you. Let these characteristics describe you. Let these admonition be received and practiced by you. In this way, you as the core of the body, you as this young and middle-aged saints group will be ready to meet God's need in his economy today. Now, you can please go back, if I can give you an assignment after this meeting, to this portion in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Pray, read them, and own them, and identify with them, and pray, Lord, this is me. Lord, make me this. Lord, this is what you need. This is what my church needs. This is what your recovery needs. I will be nothing but. Well, I will tell you, brothers and sisters, I did that. From 25 is the year I got married, by the way, when I finished my grad school, and I began to take a job. Yes, I did work for a number of years. But at the same time, I was abundantly clear that I am in this category, and all these things described in these verses are mine. I claim them. I pray for that. I aim for them. I aim to grow in life. I aim to defeat Satan, to overcome him. I aim to be strong. I aim to have the word of God, to amen the word of God, to pray, read the word of God, to study the word of God, to be constituted with his ministry. And I aim to not love the world and the things of the world. I aim to practice God's will, his perfect and well-pleasing will. That was me. And I'm not unusual. I'm not special. I'm not that great. I am just part of what God needs today. And of course, I'm not alone. I'm with others like myself. Friends, sisters, the Lord has done a lot. In his recovery, he has blessed it with grace, with reality, abundantly. Am I right? With the riches of his glory, and not to mention with the outpour spirit that is in our spirit and even in our hearts. So much he has done over time and in wherever we were before, in all our circumstances, human circumstances, so much grace of God, sometimes obvious, sometimes hidden, in the church life, to make us such, to bring us to this point. So I'm here again to make this call to the working saints in this age group. This is your time. This is your turn. Do not wait for another hour. Do not wait for another day. Do not wait for another year. The time is now. God's need in his economy is calling you. Now, in the past, when I say the past, I mean even the past among us, I'm not talking about Christianity in general, I'm talking about us in the recovery. Our church life, not that it was bad, not that it was wrong, but it was because the recovery is always advancing, always progressing, always improving. So we look at the past, we learn something. We have many saints, many people, but perhaps the opportunities for the saints to serve, to be useful, were not that much the way we church before. But ever since, especially the 1980s, actually it's even before that, but especially in the 1980s, when the ministry began to help us through a research and restudy of God's word, there is something of the God's ordained way, God's ordained way to build up his body, to carry forth his recovery today. Since that time, when this way was passed on to us, suddenly the situation seemed to have reversed, that today we have more opportunities than people. You may not think so, but from where I'm perched, brothers and sisters, and I do see the recovery, perhaps not the way you see it. I see it broadly, globally. I travel, I contact the brothers, the co-workers, leading ones, churches, saints. So I think I am in a position to say something, that today we have the so many opportunities to serve the Lord has been opened up through the practice of this new way. Well, I don't want to spend too much time talking about the past. It did help people in the past. How church life did help people to grow and be regenerated, and it did offer some opportunities to, for people to serve, such as in the so-called service groups and this and that. But it seems, relatively comparatively speaking to now, those opportunities are not that obvious and not as prevalent. Today, brothers and sisters, the services of the church, the meetings of the church, and especially, listen, especially the according to the God-ordained way, the opportunities to care for people, all kinds of people. I always use those three words. Number one, sinners. Number two, seekers. Number three, saints, old and young, or young and old. All these people are the opportunities that is given to us today. How about bringing the gospel, preaching the gospel to the sinners? I tell you, this is an open field. The Lord said what in John 4? He said, don't look down, look up, behold, right? Look up. Look forward. The fields are white and ready for harvest. Of course, if you are just spending your time to navel gaze, if you're only spending the time to think about yourself, you won't see anything. But follow me to lift up your eyes and look around. I mean, brothers and sisters, am I too much? The whole world is filled with sinners who need the gospel, who need Jesus. Who needs what we have? Who needs the divine life? Who needs to be saved? America, in name, is a Christian country. In reality, is a godless country. You agree with me? It is getting as secular as it can be. And people still celebrate Christmas and Easter, all because of just some tradition, you know? Stupid tradition, sorry to say that. There's nothing there. They are godless. They don't care a thing about Jesus Christ. You know, tonight I'm going to speak. I was asked to speak in a memorial meeting for a brother who is maybe not yet 50 died young, died while he was a young man of this age group, of your age group. And the brothers let me know that this brother, before he passed, he said, if possible, please ask Brother Minoru Chen to say a word at my memorial. And tonight, I've been thinking a lot about what to say. But I will not tonight just mourn a loss. I will tonight not just eulogize the dead. I will not tonight celebrate a life. Tonight, I want to stand there and speak on behalf of this brother. He has a burden for some of his peers who left the church, who left the Lord. He had a burden for his friends, and including even some who care for him in his long illness. He wants to say a word to them. Yes, to speak the gospel to them. And so that's what I will do tonight. And as I pray and as I consider this matter, I'm full of feeling for the gospel. And as I consider this brother, you know, dear saints, the transiency of life, speaks to me, the vanity of life speaks to me. When you're confronted with death and mortality, it causes you to ponder. It should cause you to ponder and think, what is life for? What is its meaning and what is its purpose? I just mentioned this, dear ones, as I am here speaking to you. I also like to preach that gospel to you. Don't think you have a long, long time. Don't even think that. Actually, I have a few words today, tonight, to say about the vanity of human life. And I speak to us here the same. I want to talk about life's anxiety. I want to talk about life's fragility. I want to talk about life's brevity. I want to talk about this life's mortality. You add those things together, it is just one word, and that's vanity. Emptiness, nothingness, it's all valueless. And this is for every fallen human being. This is our lot. This is our portion. This is our destiny. But dear brothers and sisters, we are not as the Gentiles. Am I right? We're saved. We have the life of God. But it is quite possible that even though we have the Lord and we have been redeemed, that these things of life can still happen with us. This song we sang, I would just take the words from this song. What is this life? The preachers say the vanity of vanities. It's all chasing the wind. There's nothing new under the sun. All the labor, all the toil, all the grief, all the pain, all the misery, all the worries, all the restlessness. And even if you have found pleasure and wealth, death comes soon enough, and it's all gone. Brothers and sisters, I'm not here, again, being morbid, but we do need to ponder these things, and in the Lord have certain epiphany moments with Him, just to consider our lives. You know, last week when I talked to you, I show you the gift I gave myself. Did I do that? It's still there. That is from Psalm 90, about the brevity of life, about the grass, man returning to dust in the morning. We're like grass that comes up anew, and then in the evening it's cut down and it's gone. And there are many such verses in the Old and the New Testament, mostly in the Old and quoted in the New Testament. And then it says, and Moses who wrote the song, Lord, teach us to number our days. Number our days. Now, numbering the days doesn't mean you go and count the calendar. I know today is November. What? No. That's not numbering. To number our days means to consider our days, means to measure our days, means to have wisdom, to prioritize our days, to order our life, to set our life. I ask all the working saints to do this. Centuries ago, or two centuries ago, people who are my ancestors, those are the Cantonese Chinese, came here because there was a gold rush. You may not know the American saying, San Francisco has an old Chinese name. It means the old gold mountain. The old gold mountain is the name of San Francisco to the Chinese. Okay? So they came here to find gold. You know, many of them ended up to be laundrymen and coolies and all of that stuff. But gold is here. Well, we're in the 21st century. The Silicon Valley is the new gold mountain. Everybody is here to find gold. James especially talk about the rich when he talk about flower and grass that will pass away. I don't read it now, but as I read it, I'm thinking of all these titans of technology, all these people who made it, all these people who have zero after zero in their bank account. I'll tell you, all this will fade away in all their pursuits. And some are here with causes, social justice causes, climate change causes, save the world causes, very noble, very altruistic. And I know a thing or two about the philanthropic world. It is not what you think. This world is passing away, brothers and sisters. It's all vanity. Only those who do the will of God will abide forever. Yes, we have to live a normal human life. Yes, we have human obligations. We need to fulfill our human responsibilities. We need to marry. We need to have children. We need to raise up good families. We need to do our job. And so forth. I'm not telling us to go all quit our job and become full-time what. But dear brothers and sisters, as we do these things, what is our priority? We think about our children. How about God's children? When we think about our family, what about God's household? When we think about our career, what about the divine enterprise? What about the kingdom of God? Back to the opportunities today that are abundant, even unlimited, for all the saints, for all the brothers and sisters to serve the Lord, preaching the gospel, I mentioned. So much, so much we can do. Give them the Bible, pass on a tract. Whether you go on a college campus or not, you have people around you. Friends, relatives, neighbors. How about visiting the young ones, or have visits with young ones and needy ones? The saints, so many need care. So many need cherishing and nourishing. So many needs to be contacted. It's endless. Then we have something that we call the home meetings, or the groups, or whatever you call them. The gathering of the believers from house to house for mutual care, mutual shepherding, mutual prayer. As a shepherd's tent, to shepherd the young, the weak, to teach them. To exhort them, to help them, even to perfect them. And then surely in the church, in so many meetings, right? I just take one for example, the so-called prophesying meeting. I hope the prophesying meeting has not become just a formal thing. You know what is a prophesying meeting? It's a gathering of saints to minister Christ one to another, to speak Christ, to speak forth Christ, to encourage, to console, to strengthen, and to build up the church. My, brothers and sisters, there is just so much to do, so many opportunities. But it depends on how we live our life. There is a desire, brothers and sisters, in all of us to serve the Lord. And today, these opportunities are here. I still hear calling on this group of saints to remember how the Lord has graced you, to remember the vision that you have seen, that you would respond afresh to the Lord's present calling. That you would practically number your days. That means measure your days. That means order your days by budgeting your time and your energy in a most practical way. Budget your daily life. Budget your week. Setting aside time to make that scripture real to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm just so burdened. If in Northern California you have a few hundred of this group of brothers and sisters doing this, mind. Number one, we will, or you will be saved, firstly. Be saved. And you will save many along with yourself. I actually right now don't know quite what else to say to you. Well, maybe the thing to do is we can stop the first session here and then we can continue. So this first session is a little shorter than before.